Welcome to the Social Impact Journal, the podcast meeting founders, innovators, and experts driving change in our world.
Welcome, everybody, to Social Impact Journal. I'm in Uganda right now, so you can see a different background behind me if you're watching on YouTube. Today, we've got a really exciting episode with Sarah Tiamu, who is a video journalist and filmmaker who has covered many impact stories across Africa. She was a BBC News Award nominee in 2019 and 2020. And today we'll be talking about how film can drive impact and how organizations can use it to drive their advocacy works. Here's the trailer.
My journey into journalism began right after I landed a job with the BBC as a video journalist. So with my already existing experience in pre-production, production, and post-production, it was like a perfect fit, basically. If I'm to count, I have produced, filmed, and edited over 200 original stories for the BBC. And some of the things that I always say is, everyone has a story to tell. You just have to look for the right angle to tell it from. So I strongly believe that, you know, there's still underserved audiences that we need to reach with our video stories. And by venturing into these communities that lack access to this internet and technology, we can shed light on their reality. And that was what I did when I went to Cameroon.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Jack. How are you too?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm in Kampala, Uganda today. So I've got a brand new background behind me and I'm trying to make all of the audio and visuals work. But so maybe you can give me a brief intro into who you are and what type of work you're up to.
All right. I'm a video journalist and a filmmaker, currently doing my master's in filmmaking. But as I start, I've worked as a video journalist with the BBC for about 5 years. And before then, I was into general filmmaking, working in commercials and feature films and series.
Thank you, Sarah. So episode 11, we had a gentleman called Tevin Kitto on the podcast. And we were talking about how storytelling can help social entrepreneurs amplify their message. So this is why I'm so excited for our discussion today, to hear about some of your experiences of video journalism and filmmaking, especially on some impact projects. So what inspired you to get into journalism, and how did your career start?
All right, I'll just take it from top. I mean, to be honest, journalism wasn't a career I had always dreamt of pursuing. And as a child, like most kids, you know, when they ask you, what would you like to become? It was weird because I wanted to be a singer. And in my free time, I would like pour my heart out by writing songs, poems, and any form of creative things. So I knew that I wanted to do something in line with creativity. And so the only option for me at the time, because I was in sciences class, was for me to go study computer science. So for my undergrad, I studied computer science, and I had the opportunity to like intern at a post-production studio. So basically, because I wanted to like create my own music videos and have total control of the film form. So it was there that I learned about editing and motion graphics animation. And as a matter of fact, for my final year project, I even modeled a 3D robot. So just to cut the long story short, I basically went into filmmaking right after my internship. I started my own company where we produced videos. I was like the media consultant for LASA at the time. That's like the Lagos State Signage and Advertisement Agency. And funny enough, I absolutely loved it. I loved the experience. So my journey into journalism began right after I landed a job with the BBC as a video journalist. So with my already existing experience in pre-production, production, and post-production, it was like a perfect fit, basically. So, yeah.
Amazing. So you joined the BBC, and when you first made that move from motion graphics, animation into the film sector, was there a specific area that you wanted to focus on? As I know you do a lot now with human stories and impact.
So for me, when I started, when I entered the film sector, I was initially lost, more like I took on multiple roles. But I missed all the chaos and everything. I discovered the essence of it all, which was the human connection. You know, after establishing my own company, I decided to like take a short break and focus on my family. So this break served as a catalyst for finding my true voice. It was then that, you know, since I was already introduced to everything filmmaking, I just knew what was best for me to decide on at the time. So getting back on track wasn't easy, you know, after, you know, having kids and then saying you want to go back into the industry, it was a bit hard for me, but I knew I can't give up. So when that opportunity came and I saw the ad, it was one fateful day. I just decided, actually, I was looking through online sites, checking for, because I wanted to get back, but I just didn't want to get back like, yeah, I'm this filmmaker, you know, this female filmmaker, I just want to do things. I wanted to like go through, I was looking for trainings and opportunities at the time. I think it wasn't specifically BBC. I can't remember what I was looking for, but it was more on trainings because I knew they would come and organize some free trainings to aspiring filmmakers and, you know, editors, something technical. So I saw the ad and I read the job description and I told myself, this is what I could do. And then I applied and surprisingly I got the job. So, and that was it. That was what started everything, basically.
Wow. I know you've gone on, you've done some amazing projects in what is it, mainly West Africa, where a lot of the work you've done around water sanitation and hygiene has been. I would love to understand some of those projects, as we do have a lot of listeners that are in the international development space, and I think they'll be really keen to hear some of the experiences that you had when documenting those stories.
So while I would love to discuss the project, you know, I would momentarily talk about my experiences, because as it stands, if I'm to count, I have produced, filmed and edited over 200 original stories for the BBC. And now as I've transitioned and focusing more on developing myself as a filmmaker, I'll try and reflect on some of the things that I've learned. So basically, most of my stories are usually character-driven, more like character-led stories about, you know, people excelling in their fields, you know, people doing great stuff. And some of the things that I've explored, some of the emotions, you know, I've explored pain, joy, love, and all kinds of various emotions. So each project that I've worked on have kind of taught me invaluable lessons, and they're mostly practical because I went to the field and did those stories. So I'll just pinpoint some of the ones that I can remember, because at the time, one story that like comes to mind is the story of Ikorodu boys. I mean, at the time they were just, I don't know if you've heard about them, but they're these kids in Nigeria, you know, recreating movie scenes. I think recently they just did the Extraction 2, more like recreating the scenes and using tools or equipment that are available, readily available in their environment. At the time, interestingly, they didn't even up to like 30,000 followers at the time on Instagram. So to me, it was about capturing the essence of their story, not just about the camera angles or the framing. It was about the heart, finding the heart of the story. So some of the questions that I've asked myself when I want to go out to film stories generally is, would people connect with it? What would be the lasting impact of sharing the story? Like, I imagine myself as the audience and I say, if I watch the story, do I think I would learn something? Is it something that would touch me personally or emotionally or inspire me in any form? So and basically that's what it is with storytelling. It's the impact that my stories or the stories that I'm telling have on the lives of the people watching it. And that's what matters, really. So this particular story resonated with many people, and numerous media houses reached out and were eager to meet him. Today, they are widely recognized and they are celebrated. I think Netflix has some sign of signage with them. I really don't know. But what I'm trying to say is there is really no limit. That was then. Lately, another story that I can remember from the top of my head was one I did in Kenya. which was a very touching story about a born survivor who became a model, but she chose not to wear makeup. At the time, I wouldn't lie, because I cried when I was actually editing the story. And that was the kind of emotion that I wanted my audience to feel. I want them to put themselves in the situation that my contributor is. And this is for those who are already in the advocacy or sector, who are already in the advocacy sector. I mean, there shouldn't be any limit to the kind of stories that you can tell to push out your narrative. I'll now take you back to the water sanitation and hygiene stories that I've been working on, or that I worked on recently. And some of those stories were, in fact, most of them were solution-based journalism, because it was more like, tell the story of water sanitation and hygiene in a way that people see the essence of it. It was more like celebrating people doing something really cool, you know, something to solve the problem that numerous people are facing. So those are, I don't know if I've answered the questions, but I mean, there are a lot of the stories, but those are some of them that I can think from the top of my head right now. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Sarah. And I, it's really moving to hear some of the experiences of the whole process. So maybe a question, when you are traveling to the field to capture a story, what does that whole process look like, and how long could that take from first being told about a potential project, to then traveling, capturing the story, then editing and releasing? How long could that whole process take?
I can't really tell you a particular fixed amount of time it takes. For me, as a video journalist at the time, I juggle multiple roles, which were like, so I'm the director of the story. So I would be the director, the producer, the cinematographer, the writer, the editor. And I wouldn't lie, I enjoy the creative freedom to tell stories that matter. And so for me, it's usually crucial to approach the stories from angles that deeply connect with the audience. So I would just take, for example, a story that I worked on in Senegal. At the time I saw the story online, to when I finished the story, I think it took about roughly 4 to 5 months. And that's because, you know, at the time you see the story, you start conceptualizing. So this is where you think of, what angle am I telling the story from? How would people connect with the story? The story was about a social enterprise, you know, basically turning water into money through a water kiosk model. So in as much as I wanted to tell that story, I also don't want to tell it from the angle of the social enterprise, because then it's going to look advertorial. It looks like I'm trying to create an advert for the particular social enterprise. So what do I do? What I did at the time was to pick it from somebody benefiting from this scheme. So that way, I want to hear her story. She's a regular person like I am. What is her story? Why did she choose to do this? How is this impacting her life? Where was she before now? And how is she planning to get to where she's going? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So basically, at that point, I'm thinking, we're conceptualizing, we're thinking of the best angle to go about it. That would be, you know, that would be true, and to tell the true story. So then we plan on going to film, the filming, I think it took me about a week to film. And then from then on, we go to the post-production where we start editing and putting the story together, going through fine-tuning and, you know, editorial decisions. So yeah, I think about 4 or 5 months, depends. There are some stories that I've done within 2 weeks or within a month. It depends on the complexity of the story, and how sensitive it is also really matters.
For sure. So just to understand properly, you're saying that you were recording that from the viewpoint of the beneficiary. So yes, you can actually see the process and the solution or the innovation that the social enterprise that you were recording has. You can actually see what impact that is having for the user or the beneficiary taking the service.
Exactly, and which is similar to a story that I did in Nigeria. So, I mean, I've done a lot of stories that way. So, especially when it comes to NGOs and social enterprises, you want to, because it will be boring to just have the CEO of a social enterprise just sit down to tell us, oh, yeah, so I am the CEO of this particular social enterprise and this is what I do, this is what I do. I want to see what you're doing. So that's what I tell myself. So
I'm also going to tell you that they're amazing and they're the best if the CEO
is. Yeah. I mean, I try to put myself in the position of the audience. That's what I do every time. So each time I'm going out to tell a story, I'm not looking at it from the perspective of, you know, the person doing the particular thing. I look at it from the perspective of what do I want my audience to see? How do I want this to connect with people? And which is where the human connection comes in. Because for every story, I want a human connection to it. So it's like you tell human stories. So you want to tell it. So as I was saying about the Nigerian one that I did, it was about Nonso, who is he founded SosoCare that does the basically providing healthcare to regular Nigerians through waste. Now, if I was going to tell that story, I didn't want to. I didn't want you to see Nonso at first, because then it's a question of how does this benefit me? I want to see somebody who is using that particular waste to solve our own healthcare problems. And that was what we did. Similarly, there was another story which was about plugging, which is like an exercise for younger generation where they do exercises and alongside they pick waste. It was for younger, it was like for students, basically. So, and they have different chapters in different universities. It's not a new concept, but the fact that they adopted it into the, into their own environment is what's thrilling about it. Now, if it's involved a group of people. So I can't go about interviewing every single person at once into the same video. It's going to be boring. So what did I do? I actually looked for somebody who had a story to tell. And some of the things that I always say is everyone has a story to tell. You just have to look for the right angle to tell it from. So I picked on that, and then I was able to share the story about plugging in a way that everyone can connect with it.
Thank you so much for that, Sarah. The majority of our audience here are in the social enterprise space, the NGO space, maybe even community-based organizations. So many of our listeners may be watching this and thinking, well, how can we get our message out there? How best can we tell our story? Because we want to attract new partners, maybe donors. So alongside the standpoint of showing the impact at the beneficiary level, what other practical advice would you have from them, from your experience, about how best to tell their story?
You know, it's interesting that you ask this question, because I will be facilitating a practical workshop soon on using film as an advocacy tool in London. I think it's going to be happening likely in August. I'm not sure yet. But I often emphasize that advocacy cannot thrive without visual documentation of the work being done. So it could be through pictures or videos, just any form that would let people see what you're doing. So because to me, I feel like a single image has the power to convey countless stories, depending on the viewer. So if you're capturing moments, you need to think of it as an important and essential part of your advocacy. So basically that's where I come in, because that's the part where I think of, it's not just about the advocacy. I mean, you have a lot of people doing fantastic advocacy, but it lacks, you know, reaching the right audience, because you're doing an advocacy, you're not, even if you could say, for instance, you go into a community that there are a lot of underserved communities that don't even have access to internet or, you know, smartphones and all that, but you've already captured, you know, what they're doing, or you captured from another community doing something similar, and you want to like preach the gospel to this new community. How do you show it really, if you've not really captured it in visuals? Because there's visuals has a power to convey, you know, that message that you're looking for. It catches the eye. It's something that interests the eye. So if you're able to look beyond what you're doing and think of how best can I document what I'm doing in a way that if anyone sees it, whether be it investors, be it the actual people that I want to, you know, touch their lives, do it in a way that they see it and they see the essence of it. So if you're going to do your advocacy, you should also think of how am I going to represent this in a visual form, in a way that documents the essence of what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. So possibly now away from film or still in film, you know, this podcast is you know, we have global audience and global guests. And a question I ask to everyone is about their favorite places that they've traveled in the world due to their career. So maybe this is through the work you've done as a video journalist with BBC or through other means. But is there one particular country that you've had the chance to travel to for a specific project or a conference or an event that you would rank as number one?
You see, that's a tricky question because I could be selfish and tell you it's Nigeria where I'm from, but then yeah. I haven't, you know, traveled away from there. But another thing, if I'm to choose a favorite place, it would be Cameroon. And that's because it's strange because of its proximity to us. It feels like, you know, a long journey to get to, even though it's really close to us. It's like, you know, just a border away. But traveling there for me, maybe for the first time, I spent hours, I think about 18 hours or so, just to get to Cameroon. And I recall working on a story about the similarities between Nigeria and Cameroon at the time. And it was an incredibly enjoyable experience. Because, you know, we have so much in common. We have bikes, we have foods that are similar. And I think for me, it was during one of our content gathering trips. You know, we filmed nearly 10 stories at the time. And it's been a while though, but I particularly enjoyed the street foods that I had. You know, I had it. It felt different, you know, and there was plantain with it. I mean, it's something I can't remember because I like food anyway. So I strongly believe that, you know, there's still underserved audiences that we need to reach with our video stories. And by venturing into these communities that lack access to this internet and technology, we can shed light on their reality. And that was what I did when I went to Cameroon. So, you know, so yeah. And surprisingly, we actually, you know, we discovered numerous heartwarming stories in these communities as well. So yeah, Cameroon.
Cameroon it is then, for the stories and the food. So when you moved to London, how was the food in the UK?
Oh, please don't let's go there. Because I'm still struggling. I'm actually still, I am. I'm still exploring, but yeah, I hope to find, you know, my comfort zone soon.
For sure. Okay, well, great. One question to finish off the podcast and every episode is, this podcast is, of course, called the Social Impact Journal. So if you had your own journal to write it for a young changemaker who is setting out on their journey in the creative industries or looking to go into film, what piece of advice would you give to them?
I mean, for me, my advice is simple. It's not a journey that can be completed in a single day. So if you've started small and you feel kind of discouraged, you should remember that consistency is key in making a real impact. So when people see your unwavering commitment and they see that you're not stopping, you definitely become a force to be reckoned with.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me today. All of the projects that we have mentioned will be in the show notes, and Sarah's social media handles have been running down the bottom of your screen if you're watching on YouTube as well. Or if you're on Spotify, they're also in the show notes. Thank you, Sarah, for joining me. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Jack. I'm glad to be here.